And a very good morning to you. This is the Thursday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. 4341-7090, the number you call. You can send a WhatsApp message to 266-4862, or you can send an email to brasstacks@starcomnetwork.net, and we'll be able to communicate one way or the other. John Stout is taking care of things technical on this gray and rainy morning in some areas of Barbados. We've had consistent rain through yesterday evening in most areas, I'm told, and gonna still have waterlogged conditions in other areas. I'm Dennis Johnson, your host. We go until 2 with the usual breaks for the regional roundup, tracking the latest, the network news from Flow, and our lunchtime major, the latest from Starcom Network News, and of course your calls. The governor of the central bank, Dr. Cleverston Haynes, delivered his review of the Barbadian economy, and as expected, it was like the sky is today, a little gray and gloomy. According to the newspaper, I tried to follow some of the dialogue online to try to keep abreast of what the governor of the central bank said and some of the questions asked. The risk of Barbadians becoming unemployable caught my eye. 32,000 claims caught my eye. The fact that he said the international business sector will face some stress because of the EU's move to blacklist us will cause some concern. He said the take-up of the bonds under the BOSS program, he called it adequate, but made some comments, you know, if I get it, if I'm correct, the figures weren't 100%, I know this is what it is kind of thing. It was sort of the last time I checked it was. What was worrying for me, though, is the fact that we continue to hope that our source markets deliver the tourism product with what is required to keep the engine of growth functioning. With France on lockdown for a month, I think, Germany on lockdown, although those are not our major source markets. We still have people coming in from Britain with the challenges associated with testing and making sure that they quarantined properly, but that is working to some extent. The U.S. is in the midst of an election. Americans don't travel during elections, not traditionally. And with the pandemic not under control in the U.S., we wait to see what will happen with the U.S. markets, Canada. So let's put suspicion on that one. Therefore, where do we grow and how do we grow with all the uncertainty surrounding our income? It was therefore interesting when the day before, or a couple of days before, the day before, the report in the newspaper was definite because we were talking about pumping $140 million into several ministries and departments. Supplementaries were the order of the day. As a taxpayer, as I read the report, I wondered how many questions were asked about the supplementaries and whether the lone member of the opposition queried it, because I didn't see any reports on it and I did not follow Parliament, so I do not know. I'm shooting in the dark here. So when I see $3 million for the Sanitation Service Authority to purchase trucks, my question was, how many trucks do we get for $3 million? 6 trucks? 3 trucks? 12 trucks? What's the cost of a truck? Do we know? I don't. But I suppose somebody will tell me it's online. If I go and check, it will be there somewhere, and that I should perhaps do my research. I will get around to doing that. The other one that caught my eye, $81,700 to pay the contract of Dr. Justin Ram as economic technical advisor to the Prime Minister for 3 months, effective November 1st, 2020. I do not know Dr. Ram. If I Google, I may find out what his credentials are, but I do not know what advice he's been asked to give for 3 months I do not know what he charges for consultation, so I may find out that this is a discount on what he usually charges. But as a taxpayer, I should know what he is advising on and what will be the benefits of his advice. You see, I have no problem if I'm asked to pay $27,000 for an operation that would save the life of one of my children, their mother, or even my mother-in-law, whom I love very dearly. I would pay through my nose if I know it would save their lives. Personally, if it was me, my life, I'd say, you know, it doesn't matter. So if for $81,700, we get $8.1 million from his advice, I'm quite happy to pay him $81,000. But I don't know. And I would like to know. I think it's a reasonable question to ask. But we seem to have a problem with asking questions, because people want to find out what's your motive for asking the question. My motive is, I want to know. I have no problem at all, as I said, if I get more than I pay for something. Absolutely no problem in doing it. But I don't like paying for what I don't know what I'm getting. And right now, I don't know what I'm getting. Don't know what I'm getting for the... how many trucks I'm getting for the $3 million. I don't know how much I'm getting for the advice of Dr. Ram. I don't know. But I hope I'll find out. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning, sir. Today, my question is the Barbados Transport Board. They had cashiers at the three terminals, Fairchild Street, Spicetown, and Princess Alice. To my surprise, Spicetown, I found out Monday, is closed for the last 2 years. Prince Alice was closing down for the longest time. It's closed now. Only Fairchild Street provides the tokens or the smart passes, but what is the smart passes is no tokens. Why is there only persons that live in St. George, St. Michael South, St. Joseph, St. John, St. Philip, and Christ Church to get the tokens at a price? Because we buy tokens in a set. It do save money.
And they're only available from one area, say? You say it's only available from one area?
Yep, at Fisher Street Terminal. Why you want to know why is that happening? Because it doesn't make sense that we have to walk from Princess Alice Terminal up to Fisher Street to buy tokens to walk all the way back down.
Back.
Does that make sense?
Well, it depends on if they think it's, one, a way to cut the cost of the various outlets. Maybe they think people weren't buying enough at the outlets to warrant the employment of somebody there. Or perhaps it's for cash control purposes. One of the problems with trying to determine why something is done is when you don't know why it was done, you end up asking questions that you want answers to. If there was a notice put in the newspaper saying, for example, because of the lack of demand for a cashier in Spicetown and a cashier in the Lower Green or X bus stand or Y bus stand, we consolidate in all efforts in one area. Persons will, you know, grit their teeth a little bit, but they will know why. But, you know, if you turn up one day and see it closed, and then you turn up another day and see it closed, and you don't know why, then you ask a question. I can't tell you why. I have no idea why.
This started last year, I think it was about October, November last year. The same thing last year. It was in Prince Alice Terminal stand up. Tourists with Matt came to me, asked how to get to Spicetown. So I was given directions to Spicetown by the bus. But they had $10. And where is that? You know what? The cashier only works night.
Yeah.
So I told them, you know what? Don't worry about that. Come, let's go and put it in a minivan. We will get their change. So no one says paying $10 in a fare box. So you got no change. Yes, please.
Yeah, you see, sir, and that's the challenge of how we market things and how we do things. If the transport board wants to improve their cash take, they have new buses, they have air-conditioned buses, they have new routes, they have, you know, a demand. They would like to generate a demand. If you have people in Barbados staying at hotels who you want to encourage them to enjoy the Bajan experience, you then talk to the activities desks. I don't know if they still have them, but they used to have them at one point. I like how you chuckle. You sound like me when I chuckle. That's a good thing to do. It releases the tension. If you have an activities desk, you speak to the people in activities and say, look, if you have visitors who are with you for 2 weeks, the transport board offers these tokens at a reduced rate where they can travel to and from town. They can travel around the countryside and see Barbados in air-conditioned comfort, in a bus, chatting with locals along the way, seeing the scenery, getting out and going to look at ABC. In other words, you sell what you have. Activities desk did that when I was in the industry. That was 30-odd years ago. But, you know, they did that. They encouraged people to see the island and to take a transport board bus. And they could sell the tokens for a week long.
Correct.
But if you don't do that, sir, and you sit in an office somewhere and you shut down a booth and you hope that it works, it can't work that way. And this is the problem that I have with our institutions who, rather than listen to the dull and the ignorant, like yours truly, like me, I raise my hand, they shut you down because they don't like what you're saying or they think that you're attacking them. So I did a proposal that I gave to this company and the transport board called the Transport Minute, where for 1 minute in the day, 1 minute, somewhere in the course of the day, you know, we just play commercials that are a minute and 30 seconds long. So for 1 minute, we could give people information on the transport board. They have not taken up the offer. I was told that they can put a message via WhatsApp, that they would put radios in the bus shelters to give people information on when the bus will come. I didn't see it yet, but you know, that was the plan. Well, and that was more than 5 years ago.
There are persons now announcing when the buses are coming in the Prince Alice Terminal. Mm-hmm. A man in Springstown delayed me that was closed. The cashier was closed 2 years now. Like, it was shocked. So why should I, having lived in St. Thomas, cannot have to walk to Fairchild Street Terminal as about half, 25 minutes walk uptown, to buy tokens to walk all the way back downtown? Does that make sense?
So perhaps they're trying to keep you fit. Again, I like your chuckle. Sir, I don't know why. I could only tell you they're either consolidating their operations, maybe demand for the cashiers at other places was not that great. The demand was not that great, so you know, somebody has been removed, or security or other reasons. But we're in the dark on that until someone says something. But you know, I said my piece and you said yours. Thank you for getting us started on a moving note. Good morning, Dennis. I hope you're doing well. It is a coincidence, but also very good that you started the program with economic management or mismanagement. The people of Barbados are punished economically by mismanagement carried out by the governments we elect. When the government minister is alleged to be responsible, it isn't 30 people who get sanctioned or blacklisted, it's the Barbados. That's why, as you rightly stated, we have to hold every person in office accountable for how they make use of our tax dollars. Why also they continue to overspend? Why can't they ever work within the ministerial budget? And you go on to make allegations that I can't make because I can't substantiate that particular part of your comment. However, I will say this. Estimates are just that. You estimate that for the year, you will spend $5,000 on gasoline for your car because that's your business. But then gas prices go up. So you spend $7,000. So, or gas prices go down, so you spend $6,000 and you make a saving. Estimates are estimates. You try to keep it as close as possible. However, when you bring a supplementary, I think you should be asked to explain why and to what it will be used. And I mean in the same detail that you would do a budget or an estimates debate. because it is still the taxpayer's money. If you say it takes $500,000, or you estimate that you'll spend $6 million for buses, trucks, cars, whatever, and then the end of the year you ask for another $6 million as a supplementary for the same thing, to buy equipment, cars, trucks, etc. If next year's budget is still $6 million, when you know that you spent $12 million last year, because six and there was a supplementary six, somebody should ask, is six still adequate? Do you plan to replace the vehicles like you did last year? Or are the vehicles you bought last year now functioning, so you don't need the $6 million estimate? Because what you need is to service and keep the six that you spent last year operational. To me, it's called asking a question. You ain't telling nobody they teeth it. You ain't telling nobody they shouldn't spend it. You ain't telling anybody that we ain't benefit from it. You asking a question. We have a problem with asking questions. And people who ask questions apparently get silenced, or so I hear. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning, Dennis.
Hey.
There are two issues I would like to raise this morning.
Mm-hmm.
The first one is the incident that occurred yesterday on the program. What is your take on that?
What incident is that, sir?
When there was a clash between the two callers.
So I was the producer yesterday during that intervention. In the midst of the two gentlemen having a conversation, which could have been regulated by the moderator if he was online, would not have gone on the way it did. It went on the way it did because we lost contact with Peter, and I was trying to reestablish contact with Peter while managing the two gentlemen talking to each other at the same time and operating, which is what I do when I sit in the booth up there. If I pull the volume on the telephone down, because they were both on the same channel, there'd be nothing but dead air on the air, because we'd lost our computer link as well. So I allowed the conversation to go on because they did not use obscenities and they did not, in my opinion, and that's just my opinion, they did not defame anybody. But they had a shouting match on the radio, which has happened from time to time with even moderators and callers. That's what happened, sir. If you're offended by it, I offer you my apologies, because I was the producer, technical operator, telephone operator et al.
I'm not blaming you.
No, sir, who else you blame? I am in control up there of the volumes.
I am talking about the moderator. After
so the moderator was not there. I just told you, we lost contact with him.
I know he was not there. I'm talking about when you all regain control of the situation.
Okay.
The moderator came on. He said he got some WhatsApp from some people who said it was a good fish market brawl.
I saw those WhatsApps, sir, yeah.
He went on to say he loved a good fish market brawl. And he was going to listen to the repeat last night
mm-hmm.
to hear it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm shocked at his response.
Right.
'Cause I think he should have come and offered some apology to the listeners. It was not only an embarrassment to the station, it was an embarrassment to the whole of our business.
Well, sir, on his behalf, as the producer, technical operator, I will extend my apologies, as I did to you, to those who found it offensive. And again, I will say, we lost contact with the host, and we lost contact with our computer, which usually plays the music. And therefore, while I tried to get that back online, I allowed the shouting match, if you want to call it that, to go ahead, because they did not use obscene language and they did not defame anyone. If it offended the tenets of broadcasting, I apologize again.
Why were the two of those allowed to be on at the same time?
So because the gentleman asked if he could respond to a comment that was made about him, And when we are able to do so, we do so. Let me say to you that when we had the technical operator separate from the producer, separate from the person who answers the telephone, we call them the production assistant. And when we had the ability to speak to the moderator via a talkback mic, it was quite regular to put two callers in, sometimes the station manager in particular, who likes to have what he calls competing points of view, would say, let's see if we have someone to challenge you, and he would ask us to put two callers in. Because of the distances which we operate now, and because the producer no longer has the ability to talk back to the moderator, when people call and ask to join the call, I usually tell them I can't, because I can't tell the moderator to expect them. And if I just put a call in and hears two people talking at the same time, he or she, whoever the moderator is, would become confused. Yesterday, because I was able to message Peter in France via Zoom, I told him that the gentleman on the line wanted to respond to the accusation made about him. And after I said what our guidelines were, I put him in. We then lost contact, which caused them to talk to each other without input from the host. That's why it was done, sir.
All right.
That's my decision again, and I stand by it.
All right, I'm not talking about your decision.
Sir, I know you are not, but I'm telling you whose decision it was, and you keep pushing it back to the host. And I keep taking it back to me for the reasons that I just told you for the third time. Go ahead. I'm listening to the other one.
Second topic that I'd like to look at is this same-sex marriage, this same-sex unions. Now, I'm not commenting on what two adults do in their bedroom or wherever they want to do what they want to do. Mm-hmm. But I am concerned when there are other parties involved.
Like?
Now, if these same-sex couples want to raise children, don't you think some person should be looking after the interests of these children?
Sir, and that's why we have...
Or the certain dangers?
Sir, that is... Sir, that is why we have various entities that would address that. Because the only way that persons of the same gender could have children if they adopt them, and therefore the agencies responsible for adoption would then have to screen the candidates, determine whether they were suitable candidates for adoption, and then they would make that decision. That's the same whether it is a man, woman, whether it is male alone, whether it is female alone. I can tell you from personal experience that when my late wife left me, and I was raising our daughter, my biological child, on my own, the child care board took me to court and asked me to explain why I, a male, was raising a three-year-old female, why I didn't send her to her grandmother, why I didn't put her in boarding school, and various other suggestions like that. And it was my biological child, conceived and born in wedlock, that I was raising. So there are agencies that check before you are allowed to either adopt or to apparently even raise your own children on your own.
That's not what I was asking. Now, we are welcoming people here with this town, okay? Mm-hmm. And if some of these people are same-sex people and they come with children, what control do we have
None.
Over those children?
None. N-O-N-E. They are legally the children of the people who brought them in here, and we have no control over them whatsoever. None.
So if you have a child, look,
I have three actually.
With your child, okay? Mm-hmm. And the child care board took you to court.
Mm-hmm.
So if the agencies over here determine that these children are in danger,
how are they going to determine that, sir?
These people to court?
How are they going to determine that? Based on what?
I don't know. I am of the view, okay? that children being raised by same-sex parents, they suffer some amount of damage.
So
psychological, types of damage.
So let me tell you. So let me advise you something. You ever been married?
Hello?
Have you ever been married?
I've been married 3 times.
Oh, good. Right. Good. You won up on me. Okay. I've been married twice. Here's the thing. Parental breakup is traumatic. Parental disagreements in the presence of children, more trauma. Parents fighting with each other, shouting and screaming, traumatic. Unless somebody, as happened in my case, made an anonymous call to the child care board and say that this man raising, have this three-year-old child with him, whisper, whisper, whisper. As I asked the child care board at the time, suppose I had called you and said there's a three-year-old child living alone with her mother. Would you have called her in to ask who gives her a bath, who combs her hair, who cleans the house, who cooks the food, and all the other things you're asking me? The person said to me, we need to find out if the child is psychologically being damaged. I said, fine, no problem. Test her, find out if she's being molested. If you want me to get a sex change operation, I will. You want me to put on a grass skirt, I will. Whatever you want me to do, but this is my child, her mother's left, I am not going to make her feel that I abandoned her. Sir, that is a decision that will be made if somebody pick up the phone and anonymously call and say, they got two men living together, raising this boy child, I feel he being abused. They will call him too, because they will intervene at that level. But I cannot sit down outside and look at anybody, whether they're same sex, different sex, or by themselves, and determine the psychological abuse of their child based on what I feel is psychological abuse. Because I have said this to one of my colleagues here already, and they disagree with me fundamentally, but it is something that I believe. There is something that couples do to each other called the silent treatment. I am sure you've heard of it. I consider silent treatment to be psychological abuse. If I am in a marriage with a female, and I underline female, because both my wives were female from head to toe, every inch, okay? If I am in a marital relationship, forsaking all others and all that, and for 3 days you say nothing to me, you walking by like ice, and my children looking at this, you telling me they ain't damaged? They are. And if I turn my back and I go overseas for a week and you sneak in Uncle George at midnight with all the lights out and 6 o'clock next morning when he's sneaking out, the children see him, you telling me they're not damaged? If I bring in Auntie Velma when the wife gone out for a weekend, right? And my children get up in the morning and see Auntie Velma coming out the bathroom. They ain't psychologically damaged? Sir, psychological damage? Ask the people in Barbados, male and female, who can't hold on to a relationship, who mistrust every male or every female they see. Ask them about psychological damage. Ask them before you determine that same-sex relationships that psychologically damage people. Because you see me, I will raise my hand real high. I have always thought that I was a child nobody wanted that became the man nobody wants. And I was raised by a mother and two aunts. Have a good morning. This is Dr. Brass Tacks. We have a report of on the heavy rainfall and flood warnings or watches in effect from the Met Office. 4341-790 Brass Tacks. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, sir.
Morning, sir.
Greetings, Mr. Johnson.
To you too.
I just called to say briefly that to the caller that who was questioning the situation yesterday. It did not replay last night on the repeat, so that shows you that it was not intended for the ear. It was just one of those unfortunate situations with technology.
Okay, that's all sir. I wanted. Okay, sir. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey.
Yeah. I just want to ask about a question.
Sure.
The government and the government. You got the teachers, you got the policemen, and you got the army. The teachers always get pay on time. The police get pay on time, but the army never gets pay on time. I don't know if you're not supposed to, you're supposed to get pay on the 25th or the end of the month. But up to now, we haven't got paid. And then you speak to the people in the cashier. They don't know what to tell you. So I just need, what do you think about that? You've got your mortgage to pay. You can't pay your mortgage because there's no money.
You are in the army?
Yes. And I don't get paid. Fine, I'm going to get penalized for this because nobody seems to talk about anything. They talk between themselves, but they don't publicize it. When Mr. Marshall was in charge, at least, you know, 2 days late, you got paid. They're telling you now, oh, you've got to talk to the minister. What is the point?
You're a permanent part of the army, ma'am?
Yes.
And this has been going on for how long?
This has been going on for the last year. We're supposed to get paid on the 25th. You don't get paid on the 25th. You tell somebody, and the cashier don't know what's going on. You don't know when you're going to get paid.
Have you spoken to anyone other than the cashier?
Yeah, but you can't. They don't want to talk to you. You talk to her, and she says, I don't know who to talk to. Nobody wants to talk to you. It's all hush-hush.
Senior officers, you don't have anyone.
The senior officers don't want to tell you anything. Everything is hush-hush. They probably know, but they don't tell you anything. So that's what I'm saying. Is it, I said, is it the money, no money to pay you? Nobody tells you anything. I don't know. It's just like when you was to take money out of your pay every month. They do that. But nobody could explain to you how it was done. You had to go and investigate yourself and find out how this thing worked. Nobody could tell you how it's going to work, how the bonds was going to work. They just don't know anything, or they don't want to tell you anything.
Ma'am, I can just say to you that it is a difficult situation to work and not be paid or not be uncertain about your pay. And I would suggest that if it is a situation that's affecting more than one person, that there should be some way of addressing it collectively. If someone thinks that one person perhaps will be singled out and penalized if one person makes the representation. I can only suggest that you try to talk to someone senior, someone who's responsible for personnel matters, because there must be someone responsible for that within a unit, especially the disciplined forces, and handle it at that level, because at this level, I don't think there is anything to do.
Exactly. And another thing too, Miss Montley was coming into the army base all the time. When she was coming in, things was better. All of a sudden, you don't see her. We just need her to control this thing.
Ma'am, I have no idea what that statement was just right. about. But anyhow, as I said, I don't think there's anything we can do at this level other than what I've said that perhaps you should try to do, which is speak to someone senior who can assist in that matter. And thank you. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Mr. Johnson.
Yes, sir.
How are you today, sir?
I am all right. And you?
Thank God for this rain. It's really, really helping out. Too much rain, I can't even pump it off now.
So I just worry about those who perhaps need, roofs repaired and who may have flooding in their areas and water that's perhaps running off in a dangerous manner. Once we control those things, we should be all right.
Mr. Johnson, I want to seek out your opinion on a matter that I observe. Quite recently, I have found myself looking at the YouTube for the obits that appear. And there have been several obits that I've seen so far. I don't know if you realize now that a lot of them are coming up of persons who who would be followed as far as the carrying it on the YouTube. I find myself know that that is one of the things that I look at. An area that I am concerned about, and I believe the directors probably answer this, is that quite recently I have seen at the funeral home or the viewing that where there is a viewing of the family member, that big people walk in and they hold on and they kiss the corpse. Then some of them lift the children up and they kiss the corpse. I wonder if this should be allowed, because it looks you're talking about the virus now and nobody states when somebody has died from the virus or anything like that. But what is amazing is now become a norm, is now become a fashion that where you see family members come in and they hold over and they kiss the person there. And if they've got a child with them, a young child, baby in arms, likewise. What's your opinion on that?
Sir, people grieve in different ways, and I don't know that legal authority can intrude to that level. You set guidelines, you ask people to adhere to them, and you hope that they do so. The challenge, sir, with grief is always the way people grieve, and I don't know we can get that deep down into the way people express themselves on occasions like that. Perhaps that's why there've been challenges in trying to curb, church services and places where people express their emotions, whatever type of gathering it is, because you do get carried away either when you're expressing yourself in a happy manner or in a sad manner. I just think if people are crying because they've lost a loved one, it's difficult not to hug them if you're the hugging kind of person. It is difficult. I don't know how I would react in situations like that, so, which is why I can't project myself onto anyone else. That's the truth. But anyway, thanks for it, sir. WhatsApp message says, I hope you get a chance to read this. My girlfriends and I raised 3 children. There's absolutely nothing wrong with them. I was a single mom. One was another single mom. The other was a divorcee. We never lived within the same household, but our children had 2 mothers. My son raised his daughter full-time for the first year of her life. That caused him to be the apple of her eye in many ways. People can be so tunneled. Different experiences. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning, sir. How are you doing?
I am doing all right, I think, until I'm told otherwise.
No, you sound good. This is Wendell Callender here.
Yes, sir.
I want to talk about... You piqued my interest because you spoke about the money matters that were raised.
Mm-hmm.
When you talked about the $27,000 per month.
Roughly.
Being paid. Yeah, roughly, yeah. Okay. Now, those matters normally come up in the Committee of Supply, which are normally headed by the Chairman of Committees.
Mm-hmm.
You will see the Minister, Chairman of Committees, Ms. Brown, she would have chaired that session. Now, normally, in a normal government, I mean, when you have opposition, normally you will get responses because you're given up to 15 minutes to speak at any one time on those matters. And if you had, for example, 5 people in opposition, if one didn't speak on an issue, then another one would have a chance to speak and to ask questions.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with this lopsided government, you would find that there's only one person in there who can raise these matters. And normally you're only supposed to speak about 15 minutes at a time so that some things can be missed, okay? So therefore, you may have found that the clarification on some of those matters may not have been forthcoming. But normally you would have an explanation for expenditures that seem a bit high. You would have an explanation as to what it is about, and you would get details. I mean, this was This is how it has been done historically. I also want to make the point that all this talk about debating and having to be able to debate to be an MP, I mean, doesn't make any sense at all based on the precedents that we have seen, based on the reality. Let me explain something here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Parliament is a place that does not allow for debate in the way that we know debate to be. If you check the standard orders of Parliament, you'll find that the person proposes a bill or makes a resolution.
Mm-hmm. Will speak support on it or not.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And then other people will have half hour to speak as a maximum. Sometimes they don't need to use that time, and they use it up.
And sometimes they use it up and don't talk about the matter at hand at all,
they don't
other than saying that they support it.
And if the speaker is very lenient, he would allow them to ramble on to all kinds of things that are not related to the issue.
Oh,
because according to the rules,
mm-hmm.
right, they has to be related to the issue at hand, but sometimes it is treated very liberally.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a case where you can get up and say something and somebody respond to you. You speak, and then somebody has a chance to speak half hour.
Mm-hmm.
They may not respond to another person directly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And when you are speaking, a person can only interrupt because
a matter of
particular matter. You are not addressing the issue.
Mm-hmm.
You are bringing in somebody's name who's not in the chamber.
Right.
So there are rules that govern these things. It's not a free-for-all that we're in a rum shop. And you can debate in that way. You have a better chance of debating in a rum shop, in somebody's house, in a gallery.
Or on television.
But not in Parliament. Huh?
Or on television and radio.
Or even on... You know, that kind of thing. So you're given rules. You have to speak in the committee of supply for 15 minutes.
Right.
Normally it's half hour. You don't have to use it. You can...
Let me ask you this, though. And this is, again, from an outsider looking in. That's why I made the comment about perhaps, you know, as a one-man opposition, the bishop needs, let's say, support to look at certain matters and say, this is something that should be highlighted. Pay note here, take note. Because it's difficult for one person, I think, to sit down and, you know, go through various volumes.
Yeah, it's very difficult.
And so therefore, the reason why I'm raising that is this. The items you select, therefore, to speak on or to query then becomes a challenge. Because if you have five or six people on the benches of the opposition, you would have shadow ministers, you would have people selected to speak on special items.
Yes, they're normally shadow ministers. Yes.
Correct. So, as a one person, if you're looking at everything, you would have to decide, do I pick on sanitation? Do I pick on health? Do I pick on economy? What do I pick on to respond? Wouldn't that make your job a little...
It makes your job
heavy. Heavy?
And
because I'm not sure you could get up to speak every time, you know, 15 different times on every single subject. So it must be stressful.
So you have to determine what are the key issues that you want to address.
Right.
So
or that you think the public would like to have you address, which is the other part of it.
Right.
Because and, you may address things that you think are important, but the public does not agree with you on it.
Right. Another thing, too, I believe that Ravli may have groups that look at various issues and it may bring his attention. But physically... Well, it's structured. Now, it is difficult for an opposition to pick up a lot of key issues because there are not the numbers there, right? And as I said, it's not a free-for-all where he can just get up and ask a question. He has your chance to speak, and after that, that's it. Unless somebody is speaking out of order or whatever, then he can get up and he can say it's out of order. But there's not much chance for that kind of exchange.
Correct.
Okay? And another thing, let me make the point, too, about asking for things in Parliament.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you bring a private member's resolution or something like that,
mm-hmm.
which has to be entertained, you're not given a chance to raise a lot of issues in Parliament. There have to be the things that are on the order paper, which is determined by the government of the day.
Mm-hmm.
They come to Parliament, and then you have to comment or you in your speech, then you deal with what is in, what is there. And the only time you can perhaps get a chance to ask for something that you want for your constituency is, for example, with a money matter dealing with land. It might be dealing with land in St. Lucie.
Mm-hmm.
But I will get up and I will say, on this matter of land, I realize you are doing this for a community center.
Right.
But up here in Shmala, we have a playing field up here, and somebody's willing to give us the land. And what, when are we going to get this done?
Yeah, I got you.
So I get the chance to make my point.
Your point, right. While speaking on another one.
I get a chance on a money matter dealing with land.
Right.
So, so you have to be very skillful to make an intervention related to an issue.
But spread it to something that your constituents need.
Yeah, because it has to be relevant. So then you get a chance to say, on this day when they raise this matter, I'm going to get a chance just to put in my piece about what I want. So most of the action happens outside of Parliament.
I got you, sir. Thank you very much for that intervention, and certainly it opens up some of the things that we don't perhaps see when we just look at it from the outside.